my voice was coming over to her as like I said it
like a
whatever.
chipmunk.
Yeah. And her voice was going to me. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Tether Radio Podcast, the only podcast keeping you from spiraling out into the infinite abyss. I'm your host, Daniel, and I'm joined, as always, by Allie.
What up?
What is up?
This week, I am shitting in wigs. That's my...
Yes.
I really don't care about the story. It was two girls on Glee that had a fight,
yeah.
And one of them apparently said she would shit in the other one's wig, and I just...
I don't care
about the hot goss, but man, I love wig shitting.
Yeah. And I'm joined today by Allie Wig Shitter Valentine.
Oh, it's bad. It's real
That's
bad.
Awesome. That's fucking awesome, though. Wig shitting. That's amazing.
Man.
How was your past week?
Man, it was fine. It was weird. How was yours?
We'll just leave it at weird. It was pretty good. I think. I mean, for the most part, it was pretty good. It was. I guess it was just one of those things that like. With all the protests and stuff, like we were talking about before recording, we know that other things are going on, and not to downplay the importance of the protests and stuff, but like there are other things still happening in tandem with this stuff.
Like, I am thirsty to hear anything else, and like I do care, and I'm really following it, but also please give me some weird true crime news or something, you know?
Dude, tell me about that grandma in Kansas that like baked the world's new record for like the largest oatmeal raisin cookie or something, right? We need to hear about Mammy.
Dude, I've got some personal news I saved for the podcast because it is a... riot.
All right.
Oh, poor choice of words right now.
My
college boyfriend that I have not spoken to in 13 years messaged me on Facebook out of nowhere on Tuesday.
Looking to reconnect?
No, looking to apologize for being the worst, which he was, and he did acknowledge it, but...
That's pretty interesting.
Mm,
what?
He said, 44 times in the message. So to say it's about him is an understatement.
but was it like in the like I fucked up?
It was.
I was a dickhead.
It was also like I this and I hope this and I like he even said he realizes that he was verbally and emotionally abusive and he really feels awful that he treated me so bad for so long.
Did you wake up one day and like...
I honestly, when I got the message that he wanted to connect on Messenger, I was like, oh, this dude's doing some sort of 12-step shit where he's got to make amends with people.
Thank you. That's exactly what I was thinking.
That's how it read too,
no
but
shit.
I think it was just a personal thing. But
weird.
He also, his Facebook has some like public posts on it that are just like... rambly and soul-searchy, and I guess the Black Lives Matter stuff made him do a lot of deep thinking.
Wow.
But, like, I sent it to my good friend who knew him, too, and he was like, dude, he sounds manic.
Really?
It was an adventure.
I mean, honestly, when you take a quick glimpse back at the past 5 months, like, protests...
who hasn't lost their mind, honestly?
Yeah, well, and it's like, I'd say a lot of people are doing some soul searching
these
days, you know?
Yeah, and like, yeah, I'm sure like he was, you know, we were young, he was the worst, and I'm sure he's a better person now, and I'm happy for him, but I also don't owe him an ounce of any more emotional labor.
No.
So,
yeah.
Fun thing I learned, if you're not connected... and someone messages you, you can read the message, and it doesn't tell them that you saw it unless you reply.
What do you mean when you're not connected?
Like, we're not friends, but you can send someone a message.
Oh, okay, gotcha. Yeah.
So it first gives me a thing being like, he wants to message you.
Yeah.
So I can click the message, mm-hmm. read the whole thing, but he doesn't see that I read it unless I reply.
Gotcha.
So yeah. I did better than leaving him on read. I didn't reply, and I blocked him.
Yeah.
So he will never know, unless he somehow comes across the podcast, whatever, I don't care. But he won't ever actually know
In that case, just, you know, recruit your friends. We need listeners.
Right? Yeah. No. Man, bizarre. It was real weird.
When Megan and I got engaged, her last flame contacted her and was I can't remember if it was like he was like straight up trying to like get a foot in the door right. again or what, but yeah. Megan's like, you are absolute trash.
Yep.
And I'm happy.
Good.
What the fuck are you talking about? Yeah. Like,
yeah,
it was just, it's weird, man.
Oh yeah. My best friend that I sent it to that counted how many eyes it said. I didn't even think to do that. I'm so glad she thought of it.
Yeah.
But she was like, I really wish you'd reply and just be like, I hope you feel better now.
Yeah. Exactly.
Also, like, he even at one point of it, he was like, I'm sure I'm the last person you want to hear from. And if you don't want to reply, that's okay. And she was like, oh, it's really nice of him that he gave you permission not to reply. That's really thoughtful.
Yeah, right.
Oh, and at the end of it, he was like, I do want you to know that I have a lot of fond memories from our years together, and I never speak negatively of it. I was like, can't relate, motherfucker. You were abusive, but go off, I guess.
Yeah. Jesus, dude.
Ugh.
Well, that was whatever. Fun. Yeah. My God, I'm telling you, that's one thing that it's like, I look back and to go on a small tangent, because this is the Tangent Radio podcast. So,
it is.
But I look back at like most of the people that I dated.
Yeah.
And like, I don't look back fondly on most of them.
Yeah, no.
And I mean, like, I understand. Like, obviously, we broke up for a reason,
sure,
but it's like...
But you should have had some good times.
Right? Yeah. I mean, like, I'm sure I had good times, but it was like... It's just...
By the
it's
end, you were
weird.
Done.
Weird. Yeah. It's like, I don't think that I could be around them even now.
Dude, I don't understand people that can be friends with their exes. Like, I know a lot of people that are like that, but I can't do it.
Yeah.
Like, I've never been like that.
Yeah.
No.
I don't know. Just kind of bizarre.
Yeah.
But, So this past week, I was trying to think of anything big. Oh, we did that. So we had my mom over on Wednesday.
Yeah.
Megan took a vacation day.
Yeah.
And we hung shelves to get
this
room, you know, in more working order kind of thing. So that was cool.
You mean the studio.
The studio, exactly. Honestly, we need to get a sign for the door.
We should.
That's what we need.
Like
to
a
do.
Recording, like on air.
Yeah,
like,
on air. Yes. Oh my God, that would be amazing. So that was awesome. Getting this room, you know, going, and I think I also did the desk, didn't I?
Yeah. Yeah.
So got a new another desk in here. So yeah, we're just basically getting into like real studio feel kind of thing. Yeah. Now we just need some like sound dampening whatever stuff around us.
I love the way those look. Those are cool.
Yeah. I'll just start hanging egg crate around the room. But so something that I wanted to mention though is I always try to take notes over the course of the week and be like, well, this would be fun to talk about as like an intro kind of thing. So Megan and I watched a movie last night.
I'm excited for this.
And I first of all, I love David Cronenberg. He also directed The Fly.
Okay. Oh boy. Okay.
Yeah. So buckle up.
Oh boy.
So if you're not familiar with The Fly, basically what occurred, this guy's working on teleportation technology.
Okay.
And he tests it on himself, but a fly gets in the chamber with him, so it kind of like melds their DNA together. So he starts slowly turning into a fly.
Oh.
Like a human-sized fly.
Shout out to Kafka, I guess.
Yeah. Oh my God. Have you read that?
Yeah.
You read that, right?
Yeah.
That shit was bizarre.
Yeah.
Metamorphosis, right?
Cool. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh my God, you just made me think of something else.
There's a graphic novel adaptation of that supposed to be really cool. Oh wow! Of course.
Have you read The Stranger?
The one that they made a show of recently. Harlan Coben.
No.
It's like a really generic name. Like, there's a bunch of books called The Stranger.
Oh, okay. This is philosophy.
Oh, no, I haven't. I know who you're talking about.
Is it Kafka? No, it's not Kafka.
I can't ever say his last name.
Yeah.
Camus? Is that how you say it?
Camus. Albert Camus.
I always want to say Camus, and I know that's not right.
Yeah, no, you're totally right. That is amazing.
Yeah, yeah.
If you haven't read it, you could knock it out in literally like an hour.
Yeah.
Kind of thing. It's like a child's book for you.
Yeah.
But anyway, really like that. I don't know why that just. I think Kafka. I think I read The Metamorphosis and then The Stranger immediately after.
Yeah.
I got on like a philosophy kick, but
I tried and I failed.
Really?
Yeah. It's not for me.
I just like to talk about like.
Yeah, it's cool, but reading the actual I need like a modern interpretation of the shit.
Yeah. No, I agree. It's definitely it's yeah. So we watched this movie by the name of Videodrome last night.
Okay.
I'm going to read a synopsis that I thought did a pretty good job of As the president of a trashy TV channel, Max Wren, played by James Woods.
Okay.
James Woods is desperate for new programming to attract viewers when he happens upon Videodrome, a TV show dedicated to gratuitous torture and punishment. Max sees a potential hit and broadcasts the show on his channel. However, after his girlfriend, played by the beautiful Deborah Harry, also lead singer of Blondie, auditions for the show and never returns, Max investigates the truth behind Videodrome and discovers that the graphic violence may not be as fake as he thought.
Ooh, I read a book like this and it was real good.
Really?
Yeah.
Because honestly, it was a good movie.
Yeah.
It was just fucking weird. Yeah. Like, there's some really weird scenes in it and shit.
Yeah.
Do you don't happen to remember the name of the book? Do you?
I do, but, like, it's... telling you that would be a pretty big spoiler to anybody that wants to read it. So I don't want to, like...
Gotcha. Okay. Never mind.
Also, it was more, torture... Like porn that would involve torture.
Like hostile? Oh,
like,
God.
Like, not torture porn, but, like... Yeah, like, really bad. Like, but people were, like, dying in it and stuff. Yeah. It was dark.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's, oof. Yeah. Well, this was pretty fucking out there. So, but yeah, I would, for any like horror lovers out there, definitely check it out. It's weird though.
Yeah.
So don't watch it with your parents or something. I don't know. So every time I think of like saying don't watch it with your parents, I think about my brother going to the movie theater with my mother to see Black Swan.
Oh, wow.
My brother Joseph goes, so apparently there is a scene that one girl just dives in on the other girl, kind of thing.
Okay.
And Joseph goes, I got really, really quiet and I didn't want to look at mom because she's sitting right beside me, and he said I would have left the fucking theater had she either tried to talk to me or touch me during that period. And I was like, I don't blame you. That's weird.
Just never talk to your mom again.
Yeah. They just leave the theater and walk separate ways. But yeah, man, I just thought that was funny as hell.
Wow.
So how do we want to, how do we want to start diving into this stuff?
Man, I want to get into some weird shit from Twitter.
All right, let's do it. Let's
I have two weird Twitter stories this week.
Yes.
This one is sort of a potpourri, if you will.
Ah.
Thanks, Alex Trebek. So I don't know the main guy that tweeted this. His handle is at Bobby Big Wheel. I don't know who he is. But he said do you know him?
Well, I wonder if the Big Wheel... Is it the Big Wheel? Like, literally, I think there's, like, Big Wheel adult tricycle kind of things. I could be making that up. Anyway, go ahead.
I think it's just a weird username. I don't think he's, like, a brand or anything.
You're probably right.
Yeah, I think he's just a funny guy.
I'm probably making shit up.
But he said his favorite category of tweet is accidental drill. Drill being the user, D-R-I-L.
Oh, okay.
Who... is basically just a shit poster, but is hilarious and posts really bizarre, weird stuff.
Yeah.
Or like he'll post something and like halfway through it totally change the subject all in one tweet, and they're Drill's a masterpiece.
Yeah.
So basically people were just responding with links to weird shit.
Yeah.
Most of them from very famous people. Yeah. Including the Pope.
Yes.
Senator can't fucking talk today. Senator Chuck Grassley, April 10th, 2009. It's all abbreviated, too. Yeah. Work on farm, Fry. Burning piles of brush. Windy fire. Got out of control. Thank God for good neighbor. He helped get under control. And then all one word put together. Pants burn, leg wound.
What?
None of that made any sense.
Wait, so these are, like, legit?
These are actual tweets. These are all still, like, these are retweeted. They're not even screenshots. They're still posted.
Dude, well, this is proof that we need to have term limits.
Right?
For everybody on Capitol Hill.
Marianne Williamson, this week. I just deleted a picture of Hitler that I learned was Photoshopped. I apologize. Too much coffee. What? What? You have to follow Drill.
I'm actually hopping on there. Okay, right, good. Now.
I sent you one of his this week. I can't remember what it was, but it was something goofy.
Alright, let me see.
Probably something about shitting himself or some weird something like that.
Probably. I'll see if I can find it real quick.
This is the only one who I don't know who she is, but she's verified. She's got 1.2 million followers. She's some talk radio host. Her name's Dana Loesch. April 1st, 2008. And I realize that's April Fool's Day. I don't think this was a joke. I think this is just a weird shit tweet.
Yeah.
Packing involves simple math. 3-day trip equals 3 pairs of panties plus 2 extra from when I crap myself for the flight there and back. What?
Wait, who put that?
A talk radio host.
What? I don't think
this is a shit post I would post.
But this is my thing. I don't think that even in this day and age, people understand the fucking, like, permanency of
it's
the internet.
Also, you know what I'm saying? Again, these are all still on their feeds.
And like, these are not just like fucking no-name people.
No, the next one is Pope Francis.
Yeah.
In 2015, he said, "The earth, our home, is beginning to look more and more like an immense pile of filth."
Oh my God.
Our fearless orange leader, Trump, in October of 2012. "The Coca-Cola company is not happy with me. That's okay. I'll still keep drinking that garbage." Sinbad.
Yeah. Sinbad.
December of 2013. "How have you been and how are your horses?" What? Who is this supposed to be to? What?
I think that was supposed to be a DM, dude.
Maybe, but like, what? Last one, Kevin Durant. Isn't that a basketball dude?
Yeah.
Okay. July of 2010. "I'm watching the History Channel in the club, and I'm wondering, how do these people know what's going on the sun? Ain't nobody ever been."
Deep thoughts with
these
Kevin Durant.
These all sound like shit I would drunk tweet, and then look back on later and be like, I didn't even get a single like on that one. That's fine.
Yeah. I guess I'll delete my sun tweet.
I hardly ever delete stuff.
Yeah.
I just leave it up. I'm like, probably drunk when I wrote that one.
That is awesome.
Oh,
accidental
Twitter,
Drill.
Twitter is what you make of it, dude.
Oh, that's incredible.
Oh man.
Holy shit. Well, you wanna go ahead and get into the second one?
Yeah.
Or you wanna
save
it
for a
little
later?
No,
it's a little thread.
Okay.
This guy said you should always click on the links that are in people's bios. And that is how we have this story.
All right.
So there was a thing about police in Asheville did you see that? They were stabbing the water bottles at a medic station that was approved by the city.
Stabbing water bottles?
Like, just destroying water bottles at a medic station.
That was meant for protesters.
Yeah. And so, like, this picture was posted, like, it's verified. Like, it's by, like, their newspaper took the picture and posted it.
Yeah.
This guy commented and was like, false, totally false. Okay, buddy. Whatever.
Okay.
So anyway, this guy clicked on that guy to see. I don't know, but he clicked on him.
It was Ken M, wasn't it? No, just kidding.
Well, his name's John Wood, and he mentions that he's the subject of a documentary. And the documentary's Twitter is at Leg in Grill.
Leg in Grill.
Uh-huh, just like it sounds. Okay.
Visible confusion.
That. Yeah. So he clicked that. Leg in Grill has its display name as Finders Keepers Film. The bio for it says, in 2007, a severed human leg was discovered in a grill. It only gets stranger from there. So then he posted some screenshots from this article about the movie. This dude had bought a barbecue smoker at a storage unit auction, and he opened it at home and found a human leg on the grill. Tendons, toenails, and all. And he said it grossed him out. Yeah, dude, of course it grossed you out. I'm getting there. Hang on.
Oh my god.
An amputee, our boy John Wood, came forward to claim his former limb. He had just misplaced it. Who amongst us has not misplaced their own leg?
So this
his
was
leg. He's
flesh.
An amputee. It's his leg.
So, okay, I'm severely confused.
Well, we're going.
When somebody gets a limb lobbed off,
you don't usually get to keep it. There's a lot of rules about
that. Well, I don't think that you're legally allowed to keep it.
Yeah, there's
you?
A lot of weird. Yeah.
Because, I mean, it's at that point, it's like bio waste or whatever, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Anyways.
Yeah.
Good.
You know, who has not misplaced their amputated leg?
I
honestly,
do.
At least once a week. It's a weekend thing. So, Shannon Wisnant, though, the guy that bought the smoker.
Mm hmm.
Says, although Wood is the birth owner of the leg, he feels like he owns it since he bought the grill. Blah, 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 DIY embalming, blah, 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 amateur forensic veterinarian who eventually preserved the leg, blah, 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 Wisnant brags that he can cry on cue. So, John Wood lost his leg in a plane crash that killed his father, and he wanted to keep the limb as a memento to his dad. Again, super normal, put it on your mantle, I guess. You know, like you would with someone's ashes, but,
yeah.
Like, it's your own leg?
Yeah, so I, okay,
right?
So you lost me at someone's ashes.
I feel like I lost you at Leg and Grill.
At Leg and Grill. What?
So, he's keeping the leg as a memento to his dad.
Please tell me they're, like, in a legal battle over the leg or something.
I think so. But basically, you have to watch the movie to find out what happens.
It actually ended up being made?
Oh, yeah. This is an actual documentary from... Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, you've got an assignment for this week.
Watch out,
watch
Tiger King.
Finders Keepers film.
Yeah.
Finders Keepers. He got...
possession is 90% of the law.
I've heard that. Well, he lost the leg during his drug and alcohol addiction because he couldn't keep up his storage unit payments.
Okay.
Why were you storing it in your smoker in a storage unit?
And so this leg was, he sought out someone to preserve this leg.
An amateur forensic veterinarian.
Yeah. And so,
and it said he eventually preserved it. How long? I don't know. I've got a lot of questions. That's about all I have from this thread, but I've got a lot of questions.
Yeah, I feel like with every new fact that you just gave...
Five more questions
were, like, queued up, dude. What the fuck?
It's a whole bunch. It's a lot.
The internet is a place.
It certainly is.
Jeez, dude, that is insane.
Oh my god.
Well, I don't know if I can top, like, finding human legs in grills, but we can solve a mystery real quick.
Oh, I love that. Let's solve it.
All right. So Megan had sent me or forwarded an email that was sent out to her from her work, and I thought this was really fascinating. I'm just going to read the first little paragraph because I swear I thought it was kind of interesting that they, the way that they wrote this.
Yeah.
Just due to the fact that, like, they actually wrote it like a story, but it was an email that went out to, I don't know, it was just kind of strange.
Okay.
So imagine walking into a facility and your iPhone suddenly shutting off.
I already hate this.
Right.
Like, I just hate, like...
Well, but this...
Like, this is a work email, and
this
I'm opening
work
it, like...
correspondence.
Don't send me a creative writing. Like, is this... What is
oh,
this?
Oh, wait, let me try again. In a world.
I'm gone, it's been real.
Yeah. In a world where iPhones suddenly shut off.
Dun, dun, dun. Boosh.
In two different facilities, at least 12 staff and visitors reported that their iPhones or Apple watches suddenly stopped working and would not turn back on. This curious case pulled in experts across the lab and even an external consultant to investigate what was causing the phones to shut off.
Okay.
So... basically, what ended up happening, they put together a multidisciplinary team to investigate why people's phones were shutting off in these two, like, different buildings.
Okay.
No, I'm telling you, this is actually really fascinating to
me. I can't get more squinty-eyed irritated about this. Like, I'm just like... No, okay.
It's not,
go ahead.
No,
tell me
not,
the rest.
No, I promise, it wasn't Hillary Clinton. No,
just but her emails.
But it was her emails. No, but no. So they started checking into it and realized that in these two buildings, they both contained instruments that routinely used liquid helium dewars or DEWARS. I'm not familiar with that, and I probably should have looked it up. But... Yeah. Okay. Basically, what they use is liquid helium, a lot of liquid helium.
Okay.
Well, as it turns out, helium molecules can accumulate inside iPhones and interfere with the tiny components of their internal clocks.
I really wanted just to fuck with my voice, so I answer the phone and I'm like, hello?
Yeah. Oh, my God. Real quick tangent.
Oh, God.
So, Megan was out of town. I think she was in Vegas for, like, a conference.
Uh-huh.
And we were using, I want to say, it was either, I think it was, like, Google Hangouts.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if this has ever happened to you, but it's like the connection gets really fucked up.
Okay.
And so... my voice was coming over to her as like, I said it like
a
whatever. Yeah. And her voice was going to me. So we took videos of both of us talking. And Megan's like, she's like, oh, you sound really funny over here. Like, and dude, it was... one of the, I'll see if we can find the videos, and if we can find the videos, we'll post them. I'll post it on the Facebook group or whatever.
Oh
but
my God,
like,
you've got to find it.
It was the funniest shit I've ever. Because I was like, I was just like playing a video game or something, and like I was a couple drinks in, kind of thing. So it made it that much funnier.
Sure,
like,
yeah. Oh,
but
God.
It was just, it was great, and I totally wish that that would have been what happened. But
that's amazing.
So apparently, so it fucks with these internal clocks on Apple devices,
okay.
And it's only Apple devices.
Mm.
Because apparently, Apple switched the material of these internal clocks from quartz to a material called MEMS, or MEMS, I guess.
Okay.
Microelectromechanical silicon.
Sure, obviously.
I know, right? Say that three times fast. In a few tests published online, iPhone 6 and newer, and the Apple Watch series, I don't know why they would say 0 and newer, Apple Watches, how about that?
Didn't they start at 1?
That's a good point.
Okay.
I don't know.
Weird.
Maybe
anyway.
It even fucks with the concept of Apple Watches. Anyway, so they're all this MEMS-based clocks, and you can actually look up YouTube videos.
Yeah.
And this person in the article that I'm gonna post for show notes,
yeah.
They actually had this person that pumps helium into a bag and puts an iPhone in there and starts a timer, and like I think it makes it like 7 minutes or something like that, and then the phone just stops and it's unresponsive. The screen's on and everything, but you can't do anything.
So how much helium is...
It's got to be like a quote, helium-rich environment.
So wouldn't it be rich enough that, like, people's voices would be fucked up?
I think that... I think that
probably
it's got to be,
like...
Probably
the threshold for that is different than...
Yeah.
Okay.
Plus, let me see if I can find it real quick, like... because I was actually able to find an article... from Vice that they did back in 2018.
Yeah.
And that same thing happened to a facility that had installed an MRI machine.
Ooh.
And so apparently MRIs or the MRI machines will use helium for, I forgot what they said what it was used for.
Huh.
But they found out that like doctors and physicians and all that were using this, or I guess probably like technicians and stuff that were around the machine a whole lot.
Right.
That their shit stopped working.
Yeah.
But it's only an Apple thing because Android devices don't use that same like whatever micro architecture.
Yeah. Yeah.
Thing. But I thought that was kind of interesting that like helium, which seems like one of the most like benign gases, you know.
Yeah.
I don't know. It was just kind of fascinating, but yeah, in this Vice article, that's where that video is embedded or whatever.
Okay.
So you can look at it or whatever. But it looks like right around 7 minutes. Let me see. I was gonna see if I could find really quickly. I don't think that they had like an actual threshold for like what kind of percentage of air the helium.
Sure,
you know what
yeah.
I'm saying? But I think that it was, let's see, in all about 120 liters of helium was pumped out of the MRI room and an untold amount leaked into the rest of the hospital. So I don't know. I don't really...
Huh.
When you start talking about volumes of gases...
Oh, yeah, no.
Hmm. Well, plus... Wait a second. Oh, I guess that you're anyway, sorry, I just started thinking way too much into this, and I was thinking, wait, don't gases expand to all volumes? That's why you have to have, like, a certain... It has to be kept at a pressure in order to actually...
Oh.
A specific pressure.
Sure.
So that you can say, hey, this is how much we've got, according to the scale, the pressure, the gas scale. I made that up. Anyway. but, yeah. So I wanted to cover that just because I thought it was interesting, first of all, and second of all, it actually happened on campus or whatever to some people. So,
jeez.
Anywho, I won't nerd out anymore about helium affecting microarchitecture of iPhone device or devices, Apple devices, whatever the fuck you want to call them. So, anywho,
I want to get into this. Rehoming of this child.
Rehoming of this child. Oh, like, yes.
I feel like a lot of the outrage, part of the outrage surely came from the use of the word rehoming. It's not a puppy.
No.
You can't.
Yeah. Mm-mm. So let's get into this.
So, also, I brought up the video, which they call their hardest video they've ever had to make, by far. This lady, I guess her name's pronounced Micah. Micah Stouffer and her husband, they adopted a little boy named Huxley,
mm-hmm.
and he is autistic. And now they have rehomed him because it's for the best.
Okay. I feel like,
yeah,
I mean, okay. So part of me, and this is going to sound terrible, but part of me is like, well, the kid's winning. Because if these people don't want him around, you know what I'm saying? Which is supremely fucked.
Which is, and yeah, he probably honestly is for the kid's best interest, but it was very...
Well, they shouldn't have been allowed to fucking adopt in the first place.
I know.
You know, but obviously it's...
Yeah. Yeah.
Hindsight's 20/20, but like, I feel like if you're choosing to adopt a child, you're
be ready for it
100% on board,
yeah,
kind of thing. Like, and if you're not,
you might accidentally get pregnant. You do not generally accidentally adopt a child,
exactly.
It's a lot,
it is a process,
more of a process,
yeah.
So over the years, Micah and her husband James posted 27 videos on their adoption journey, including a heartwarming montage of the family's trip to China to retrieve their 2.5-year-old son in 2017.
Oh my god, this just, like, is screaming.
Oh, yeah.
Doing this for publicity.
Oh, yeah. She started posting as early as July of 2016 about the long, complex process of adopting a boy from China. She talked about convincing her husband to adopt. She cried while describing administrative delays, and they celebrated when the process inched forward. Blah.
God, man.
And then they, like, you know, kept updating their fans with, you know, his progress and his relationships with their biological children and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And then people just realized he just wasn't in videos anymore. So, like, viewers were concerned because where'd your kid go?
Well, so real quick, and not that this has any bearing on, this is literally for my own edification.
Yeah.
Did they know that he was autistic before?
I'm not sure.
And like I said, it's not like if you adopt a child and find out they're fucking autistic.
Yeah, that's not really fair.
It's justified to give up the kid.
Yeah.
Like,
ugh.
No, it's yeah. not. Period.
Yeah.
Hard stop.
Well, they basically said he had more severe medical needs than they first realized. Which, okay, that could be an honest mistake. I'm not a parent. I want to say try harder. I want to say fuck off.
Well,
I don't know.
Plus, it doesn't seem like if she's like this pretty big to do, I would say she's probably financially doing all right.
I think they've got money. They look like they've got money from
yeah.
the videos and stuff. I clicked on this video. That's by far the hardest video James and I have ever publicly had to make.
Yeah.
And they're sitting on their bed. They're both dressed in all white. They look ridiculously heartfelt.
She's, well, that's because they're
about
to
crying.
They're about to have a beach shoot, a beach photo shoot.
That's
right
what it
after.
Looks like. Also, the bed's all white too. Like, it's got like a nice wood headboard, but the
yeah.
actual bed, like the pillows are white, the coverter's white,
yeah.
like the walls are white. I'm like, yeah. you look like an HGTV video shoot.
Yeah,
I hate this.
This is our hardest video. It's our ascent to heaven.
Yeah, yeah. Like, are you in an episode of The Leftovers? That show was damn good.
Really?
You should go back and watch that.
What's that one on?
I think it was HBO.
Gotcha.
There were just two seasons.
I think Megan's brother was actually talking about that.
It's weird. It's really good.
When he was still talking to us. So.
It was a really good book, too, and it was a really short book.
Yeah.
So,
ooh, wait,
yeah.
wait. My ears just perked up. Did you say a good short book?
I did. It was really good. I think I... Do I have a paper copy of it? I don't know. I will look.
Oh, real quick.
Yeah.
So, Allie and I, since mention
yeah, yeah,
a book,
yeah.
Allie and I are starting a Tether Radio book club.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And the first book is the Southern
Book Club's Guide to Slaying Vampires,
That sounds about right.
It's Grady Hendrix's new book.
Yeah.
It's supposed to be great.
Oh, here it is.
Yeah.
Southern Book's Guide to Slaying Vampires.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
Good.
Got
yeah.
it.
It's supposed to be a lot of fun.
But yes, yeah, so we are doing, we're going to do like a, actually, I'm going to let you.
Yeah, it's a Facebook Messenger room hangout, uh-huh. and you can have up to 50 people in it, which if we somehow magically have more than that, we'll figure it out next time, or,
yes.
or we'll host another or whatever.
Yes.
But for now, we'll do that.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't even have to have Facebook. If you don't have Facebook, hit us up, however, we can get you a link to it.
Yes.
So you don't have to have a login or anything is my impression. So that's mm-hmm. cool. But yeah.
And so that's going to take place on June 28th
yep.
at 8 p.m. Eastern.
Yep.
And
if you can't make it, we're going to leave like an event, like just like a thread where
yeah.
we can all like talk about stuff.
Yeah. Yeah.
And,
if
like,
you want to get in
like
on the discussion and
yeah.
stuff, whatever, posting questions, answers, all that jazz.
Yeah.
But yeah, we had so much fun doing like basically a little book club with the Dyatlov Pass
yeah.
stuff. We figured, you know what? Let's bring more people into this. It can only be more fun.
And so. I love foisting books on you guys so that I can be like, what'd you think of Horror Store? What'd
yeah.
you think of Station 11?
Exactly.
Like, I love doing that. So, yeah.
So, yeah. So, it'll be a fun evening,
yeah,
June
it's gonna be cool.
28th.
Yep.
So, yeah, we'll keep you posting. I'd say we'll probably end up having some reminders
yeah.
on the,
yeah, yeah,
the
yeah.
episodes
we'll,
leading up.
We'll post some stuff on Facebook, and we'll keep mentioning it on here, too. But,
yep.
yeah, it's going to be good.
Yeah, Woo! And by the way, I think on Amazon for the Kindle version, it's right around $13. If you want to save some money, you can put multiple devices on your
yeah.
the same Amazon account.
Yeah.
And so if you want to get a buddy to,
share
like, buy it and, you know, whatever, do it that way, you can save some money.
His cover art is always really cool, too.
Yeah.
So, like, if you are on the fence about whether to get the ebook or the physical book, go physical because his stuff's cool.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
And honestly, I think the physical copy was only 15.
Yeah, it was something like that. It wasn't much.
Yeah.
It wasn't too much.
Because we were going to get the physical.
Yeah.
And then I realized, Megan's like, we can use two different bookmarks. And I was like, what if we both want to read it at the same time?
Yeah, yeah.
But anyway, first world problems.
Yeah.
So anyway, sorry.
Oh, no, this bitch. So
yeah, yeah, this bitch.
Also, this very white couple has four biological children, and one of them is named Onyx. Guys. They're all blonde. They're blonde and very white.
Wait a second.
Do not name your child Onyx.
So they had... They have four biological kids?
Well...
Is that what you said?
One of them is only 11 months old, so they had that kid while they had this kid adopted. Great.
Man, this is like...
It's a mess.
This... Well, this is just screaming that it's like... They adopted this kid, found out he was going to be more work than they thought originally.
Replaced him biologically?
Yeah, and then had a second or another kid and was like, oh, well, I guess this one can go.
They've been accused of white saviorism and of profiting off of him.
That is so fucked, dude.
Yeah, like the cops.
Are there legal actions? Like,
They looked into it and it sounds like... Honestly, they did everything technically the right way.
Yeah.
They,
Because it's just, I mean, even to just set up, like, some kind of fund for the kid so that, you know, he has access to whatever they were able to, like, win in court or something once he's, like, 18 or 21 or whatever.
Yeah, like, I think he,
like, trust fundy.
I'm pretty sure he got, placed with another adopted family. Like, he didn't go, like, into foster care or something, but... There's a lot. There's a story.
God, that is so
the story
fun.
Is on Slate, and it's really good. It's it's really detailed. And it basically talks about all these people that really feel like they're just profiting off of posting their whole adoption journey on
I don't see
YouTube.
How. Honestly, I mean, it's kind of difficult to see it in any other light.
I know. And a lot of them, like, this girl had a lot of sponsorships with, like, brands you've heard of.
Yeah.
Like,
So are they calling for, like, the brands?
Oh, a lot of brands have dropped them.
Oh, really?
A lot.
Yeah.
I didn't realize that apparently adoptive families on YouTube often use the term gotcha day, which I thought was a thing you did with rescue animals. Like, I've heard people celebrating that, like, a birthday for, like, a dog. Like, happy gotcha day to, but, like, for a kid?
Dude, no, honestly, it's really... It's really been kind of interesting to see how, like, the pet stuff has evolved to where it's, like, they're now no longer pets. They're fur babies or whatever and stuff like that. And it's like, well, I mean, okay, I get it that you love your animal a whole lot and everything.
Yeah, but you could never.
It's not a human, you know. That seems really That seems really weird, the gotcha day thing.
It's just so much of it's in poor taste.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like it's one of these, I don't know. I kind of go back and forth because I'm like, you know, in all actuality, I don't really feel like that should really be celebrated because then it basically, it's like almost like drilling into your head that you're adopted.
Yeah.
And that it, like, how do you go forward and like feel more accepted if you're being reminded yearly? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean,
no,
since I'm not, obviously I'm not adopted, so I don't understand.
Well, and I think it's good to be honest with your kid and, you know, as, like, this kid is Asian and the family is very white and, like, so that's pretty obvious, but, like, even if you don't physically look obviously adopted, it's still good to be open with your kid, I would think, but, like, to really make it seem like your kid's a hashtag or something.
Yeah.
I don't know. It leaves a bad taste in my mouth.
Yeah. Ugh. I don't know. Not a fan.
Ugh.
And I'm definitely not a fan of this woman. And what is her name?
Micah Stover.
So if I want to get, like, trash tonight and, like, lash out at her on Twitter or Instagram. Or, what is she? You said IG or Twitter?
YouTube.
YouTube.
I'm sure they've also got...
Like, everything.
I'm sure. Yeah. I was really excited because I wanted to see how many likes and dislikes this video had, but they've got it turned off.
Yeah, of course.
Of course they do.
That's because it would give whatever the YouTube Rewind from 2018 a run for its money. Oh, jeez. All right. Well, actually, this is kind of a good segue. Let's talk about who's allowed to track kids online.
I like it. Let's do that.
So I thought this was pretty interesting. I don't know why I got into like a, I don't even know, like a law, like internet law rabbit hole for some reason this week. So bear with me. I'll try to make it interesting. And obviously, having Allie opine on this will make it more interesting than me reading laws to you. So, but anyway, so I started, I thought that this is interesting because basically we're going to have to be dealing with this probably sooner than later. I mean, my God, dude, when I was helping move the other day, or yesterday, I was helping a buddy move his in-laws into an apartment, and they were just trying to keep the kids occupied and stuff, and, you know, basically handed them an iPhone and put them on YouTube to, like, pick videos and stuff.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Which, whatever, dude. I'm telling you, we've done a lot worse at our house to keep Finn occupied. So, but at the same time, once that kid gets their own device and you start, like, locking stuff down, you can only lock it down so far.
Yeah.
And that's why what was created was the Children's Online Privacy Protection Act. And this basically, this is a law that limits how companies can collect data on children under 13. Now, I don't know about you, but like, how many times have you gone to a website that it's like, are you 13 or older? Or are you 18 or older? Are you 21 or old? Like, Total Wine.
Yeah, I usually only run into it with stuff. Well, anything that you have to put an email address in for, you have to... Or they've got it somewhere that you have to be 13.
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah. Like by clicking like the terms and conditions kind of shit.
Yeah.
Okay. But anyway, so so they talked in this article, and I thought this article actually did a really good job of kind of breaking it down into, well, less legalese, let me put it that way. So it went into effect. The law went into effect in 2000, and basically, It requires websites and services that want to collect personal data about children under 13, including real names, screen names, or contact information, to post privacy policies and get parental consent before obtaining the data.
Yeah.
So this shit got put into place, and then companies started getting hit left and right with lawsuits. Because if you don't think you're being tracked, you are. Spoiler alert.
Yeah.
But something else that was really interesting to me was last year, do you know the prior app to TikTok, that Musical.ly or whatever?
Yeah.
So I didn't even come across my radar kind of thing, you know? But
it was very annoying.
Oh, I can only imagine, dude. So they agreed to pay $5.7 million to settle alleged violations of this law.
Jeez.
And then they became TikTok.
Uh-huh.
So nice little rebranding. So I thought that was interesting. And then a record was set very shortly after that to $170 million.
God.
To YouTube. And that's why YouTube now... Which you mentioned something really interesting that I had never come across, but that you can't save videos.
Yeah, anything. I use the watch later function on YouTube a lot, and it won't let you save anything that's like classified as being for kids, and I just don't get it.
Yeah, so if there's anybody out there that would somehow...
please enlighten us.
Yeah, we would love to know what the thinking is behind that, because like we were kind of talking a little bit before the show, it seems like being able to like create playlists and like save for laters and all that stuff for specifically kids programming would be like really helpful for parents curating what their kids are watching kind of thing. So, so that was kind of interesting. If you can shed any light on that, please, by all means, tetherradio@gmail.com, hit us up. So the other thing was what it doesn't do. So we kind of know what it's trying to do, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
But the law applies to websites that are aimed at children under 13. But that standard is somewhat vague. If a service uses animated characters in ads, for example, or the service's subject matter is something clearly appealing to kids, like toys, it might fall under COPPA.
Okay.
So that was kind of what I was talking to you about. Maybe, that it was like, I mean, dude, anybody that has been on any porn site knows that there are like cartoon porn, like ads and shit.
Yeah.
So I wonder how they get around that, you know?
I don't know.
But yeah, so it was just kind of incredible. I don't know. I mean, I think that we're in the right direction, or we're headed in the right direction for like protecting kids and like setting stuff up.
Yeah.
But I think we've got a lot of way to go.
Oh, like, yeah. And you know, plus, like, what's to stop a kid from clicking the box to say they're 13?
Well, and honestly, and this is my take, even being a parent, I think that parents need to fucking, like...
Yeah.
You need to step up, and you need to be the driving force to... You know, hey, you're not going to watch this shit, like, kind of thing.
Yeah.
And actually manage what your kid has access to. I mean, shit, dude, I remember... since my parents had like a satellite out in Granger, they always had like whatever, if it's rated, whatever. Well, actually, I don't know. I mean,
they were kinda... we grew up in the wild, wild west days of the internet. Well, like, and now no there's shit, a lot of like really robust parental controls and stuff out there,
which is so awesome.
Yeah.
Like Megan and I were looking at, I think it was either YouTube or Netflix actually had some really, really cool, little options that you can check the box and it locks it down pretty hardcore.
Yeah. There's a ton of stuff like that. And especially a lot of companies have different plans, like just built into, like if you have a security plan through whatever that they'll like, there's a lot of features in that stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's pretty cool.
Okay. So let's see. I was trying to think if there was anything else that I really wanted to mention about this. I don't think so. I just thought that it was kind of a, I don't know. People are getting hit with these lawsuits, and I think that they're really cracking down. Or at least beginning to crack down. Because, I mean, I remember when I used to post our stuff on Facebook.
Yeah.
Like, every time they would force you to say, hey, is this going to go to, like, or is this targeted at audience of under 13?
Yeah.
Or 13 or under or whatever. And now you can, like, basically click something that it's like, none of my videos are ever going to be targeted to, young kids. So, just go ahead and take that off. But, let's see. All right, so I've got pretty much two left.
I've got one. I don't have any clever tangent, but I wanted to get to it because it's pretty cool. It's a few years old, but it's a neat story. Basically, there's a lot of studies done, and it turns out that cursing is good for you in a lot of ways.
Fuck yeah.
Fucking nailed it. It can increase your ability to withstand pain. So they basically... they went through and they told people to come up with a list of words, including swear words, that you might use if you hit your thumb with a hammer.
Yeah.
And then they also said, describe a chair with just neutral words, like wooden or whatever.
Uh-huh.
And then they submerged their hand in ice water for as long as they could while repeating a word from either list.
Yeah.
And the people that were repeating a swear were able to keep their hands submerged in the ice water for almost 50% longer.
So, real quick tangent.
Yeah.
I told you it was going to be the tangent fucking radio
podcast.
There was an episode on that, the 100 or whatever.
Yeah.
Or was that what it was called?
No.
What the hell was it called?
100 Humans?
100 Humans.
Yeah.
Or something like that on Netflix.
Yeah.
That they did, they had somebody, they had groups that would hold their hand in ice water.
Yeah.
and they tried to see if what was a better distraction from the pain kind of thing. And they had somebody that was literally reading like a law textbook.
Uh-huh.
And then they had somebody else. I was trying to remember what the other person was doing. Maybe it was like music or something like that. But like the people that were bored were just like, it was literally half the amount of time kind of thing.
Yeah.
It was crazy.
That's pretty neat.
But anyway.
Sorry. Well, yeah, that's really related. That's cool. Yeah. Swearing seems to trigger the natural fight or flight response, as well as increasing your adrenaline and your heart pumping. So it leads to stress-induced analgesia? Analgesia.
Yeah, analgesia.
Thank you. Thank you. Which is being more tolerant of pain.
Yeah. We'll just say pain tolerance.
Yeah, yeah. It also has an influence on strength. That's, he's got another study in review right now.
Mm-hmm.
And they did one where, you know how people say, like, if you need to swear, it's because you don't have a good vocabulary.
Yep.
They have completely proven that wrong. Also, hi, have we met? Hello.
Yeah.
They found that people, like, they basically asked, here's a letter, come up with as many words as you can for that letter.
Uh-huh.
And the people that could generate a lot of letter words and animal names was another thing. Uh-huh. They could also generate the most swear words.
So, I love creative swearing.
Oh, God, yeah.
It is
yeah.
the absolute best.
Oh, man.
And
or
it
just
makes
weird.
Me laugh so
yeah.
hard.
Yeah. And so as your fluency goes up, like, so does your fluency in swearing. So, like, it's all related.
Yeah.
And
so it's almost just like a literally, like, a matter of thinking kind of thing, more so, right?
And it also was talking about people's perception. Mm-hmm. A lot of people associate, I put in my notes, hi, this is about me. Profanity is associated with less lying and deception at the individual level. So basically, people that are using profanity, people just assume they're being more honest, because the idea is that liars have to use more brain power and think more to come up with lies and remember their lies and keep them straight.
Yeah.
And truth tellers just get to the point faster, which might mean speaking impulsively and without a filter.
Oh, weird.
And the very ending of the article said, there are detractors who argue that profanity is unnecessary and should be censored. They're right. If the foul-mouthed among us want to preserve the benefits of cursing, we need these detractors to ensure that profanity stays profane.
That's
a good
point.
Yeah, I love it.
Yeah. I do have to say, like, no kidding, when I meet people for the first time, if somebody like drops some kind of obscenity or whatever, or obscenity, like, I feel like your comfort level automatically
absolutely, especially, you know, if it's any sort of a professional type thing, like a work thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, I, you know, anytime I start a new job or I meet a new person at work or something, I don't swear in front of them first.
Oh,
but,
yeah.
But when they drop an F-bomb, I'm like, oh, this person's my friend.
Yeah. I'm glad you fucking said
yeah.
it.
and they almost always, they'll swear first, and then they'll immediately apologize and be like, oh, I'm sorry. And I was like, oh, no, dude, I swear like a sailor. I've done it at work.
Yeah. No, exactly, dude. Exactly.
But, and also, like,
that's fascinating.
Yeah, it's really cool. Yeah. But if I meet someone, like, just in a friendship kind of thing, like, I'm not going to just swear my face off, but, like, I'm going to be a lot less filtered than in a work thing.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
I mean, basically, when we have... Excuse me.
Wake up, man.
I know, right? I'm trying to, like... I found out that the blonde roast of Starbucks has a name. It's, like, Verdana or Verana or something like that.
Oh.
I didn't know that, but Megan
oh,
was...
Oh, yeah, I guess that's right. It's
correcting me.
Yeah.
Sorry.
I get the iced one of it. It's real good. Like, I get it at the store. Like,
yeah. Oh,
bottles.
Dude, I'm telling you, I'm converted. I'm not going to drink that. The Pike's Peak stuff or Pike's Place or whatever the fuck it's called. It just tastes burned.
Yeah. Yeah. Their stuff all kind of tastes burned.
Veranda.
Like Veranda. Veranda. Yeah.
But so Megan, I'm like, just give me the blonde one. Like a medium blonde.
That's all they call it though.
The blonde?
Yeah.
Wow, I don't... And then she sends me a text message. The blonde is Veranda, but you can just ask for blonde roast.
Yeah,
smiley
I've never
face.
Heard anybody... No, if I buy the iced coffee bottle at the store,
it says
blonde. It doesn't
oh,
say
wow.
Veranda.
With an E?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Because it's feminine, duh.
Okay. Wait, is there a proper use of...
Oh, buddy. Okay, so... Blonde with an E is feminine.
Okay.
Blonde without the E is either masculine or either.
Okay, so in like if you're describing
A guy, no E on it.
No shit.
Also, fiance is the same way. A female fiance has two E's, and a male fiance just has one.
No shit. Does that just go back to
what good does this do me? Why do I need to know any of this?
Hey, you heard it here first, guys. But yeah, that's interesting. I wonder, I guess that just stems from like the like Latin well, obviously fiance
French or
is,
something. Yeah. Yeah. And I happened across a story because I'm me and I happen across grammar stories, but the farther versus further, we were right about that. So farther is something that's like a measurable distance.
Oh, okay.
And further is more like.
Like furthermore.
Furthermore. Kind of, I was going to say that kind of an abstract kind of thing. Like if you want to go further on the topic.
Yeah.
Versus if you, I don't know if I want to go that far west or if I want to go farther.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah.
Okay. Interesting. Yeah. This
has been Grammar Corner.
These are the riveting conversations that Allie and I have over the course of the week. I'll send her a text message and then I'll like reread the text message and then I'll send her a text message that's criticizing my own text message. And then I'll send her another text message that's asking if that criticism is due.
So many of my friends do this, and I'm like, I do not ever correct your grammar. No, unless you ask. If you ask, I will help you.
Yeah,
but, like...
but that's my thing, is it's like, for instance, we were talking about ending sentences and prepositions. Mm-hmm. And dude, if you are typing a fucking Oxford whatever paper,
sure.
Do not do that.
Yeah.
Because it will be incorrect.
But life is not an essay question.
Thank you. Yes. And I that was the response that I got when I started giving myself shit because I was like, I started trying to restructure my sentences.
Sometimes there's just not a good way to do it. Like, it's going to sound weird.
It sounds so fucking weird sometimes.
Yeah.
So, anyway, that's my rant. That's actually really good news to me because clearly I don't exactly refrain from obscenities, so I'm glad that it's giving off a truthful and smart vibe. So, damn, I just feel like a genius now.
You love to see it.
Oh, that's awesome. Okay, well, rock and roll. You got anything else?
I want to hear your rest of your Facebook stuff,
the community. Yeah, okay.
Yeah,
cool,
let's get into that.
So, I was talking to Allie about it a little bit, and I think that what has basically transpired in the United States is you've got people that think that by leaving the power in Twitter and Facebook and Instagram's hands, that basically that's giving them too much power in order to remove content from their websites.
Yeah.
Now, literally this act that we're about to talk about is the reason that the internet exists the way that it does. So it totally was needed on the front end kind of thing, in my opinion. Now, having said that, I think that the internet has grown to the point to where it is no longer it's a utility, not a
almost
like a right instead
of
a
privilege instead of
privilege. That's what I was going for.
Okay.
Everybody needs access to the internet, period. And in order to allow it to grow to where it is these days, this Communications Decency Act was instated in 96. Now, what this does is basically it allows immunity from liability for providers and users of an, quote, interactive computer service, end quote, who publish information provided by third-party users. So, and I think this is, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, 25, 26, 27, 28, 29, 30, 31, 32, 33, 34, 35, 36, 37, 38, 39, 40, 41, 42, 43, 44, 45, 46, 47, 48, 49, 50, 51, 52, 53, 54, 55, 56, 57, 58, 59, 60, 61, 62, 63, 64, 65, 66, 67, 68, 69, 70, 71, 72, 73, 74, 75, 76, 77, 78, 79, 80, 81, 82, 83, 84, 85, 86, 87, 88, 89, 90, 91, 92, 93, 94, 95, 96, 97, 98, 100, 101, 102, 103, 104, 105, 106, 107, 108, 109, 110, 111, 112, 113, 114, 115, 116, 117, 118, 119, 120, 121, 122, 123, 124, 125, 126, 127, 128, 129, 130, I'm going to edit that out. But anyway, so there was just a long pause because I was looking for the 26 words because there's a little not meme, but I don't even know what to refer to it as, but people basically say these 26 words changed the internet.
Ooh.
No provider or user of an interactive computer service shall be treated as the publisher or speaker of any information provided by another information content provider. Okay. So literally, the long and the short of it is it removes liability or gives immunity to these companies that basically have like platforms for third-party users to post information, opinions, facts, non-facts.
You know? Yeah.
Which obviously we're dealing with that now, you know. And I think that this was really pivotal when it pivotal when it first came out, because like honestly, back in the advent of the internet, mm-hmm. I can only imagine like,
oh yeah,
like you have to provide that to whatever like GeoCities like and like the fucking MySpace shit,
yeah,
and, you know, because yeah. all sorts of shit was being posted on there, and yeah. if you make the platform liable, nobody's gonna fucking create a platform for you to use.
Well, also, I, for one, am a huge fan of shitposting.
Yeah.
And I'm going to be real mad if they start taking down important tweets such as, pee is stored in the balls.
Yes.
Because, sure, no, it's all not. Right. But is that an important tweet? It is.
I have a tangent about that. So my brother, he played football with this guy that had a mental disability. And he was just... slow. What is the proper term these days?
Know.
Mental disability? Is it
mentally challenged?
Mentally challenged? I don't know. I'm not going to.
I feel like slow is not proper.
Yeah, I'm sure it's not. But anyway, so they were taking this like hour long bus ride to one of their games, and the dude stands up and he goes, Coach,
oh no,
you gotta pull the bus over. I gotta piss so bad my nutsack's about to explode. And I was just like, yes, that is so funny. Anyway, so not making fun. I just thought that that was very appropriate hearing your tweet. So,
oh, my God.
Anyway, getting back to the Communications Decency Act. Yeah. So I think that this was totally imperative that this be put through. And I think that at this point, it needs to be revisited. The reason that I say that is because by allowing immunity to these big companies like the Facebooks, the Twitters, the Instagrams,
yeah.
What's up?
I'm just laughing about all of this. I like wrote down shit posting is vital, and I'm like, for what? Why am I writing this down? I got it.
But I honestly, I completely agree with
yeah.
you.
Yeah.
Because I get...
If the internet's not for fun, I don't want it.
Well, and if the internet... The internet is not a safe place.
No.
Period. Or a safe space.
No.
You know? Yeah. And so it's one of these things that I completely agree. You know what? When you're propagating, one of the big reasons that this has been revisited is apparently a lot of people were complaining that sex trafficking is almost protected by this.
Mm.
To some degree.
Yeah.
And... And so I think that it does need to be revisited at this point, because I think we are placing, in my opinion, almost more power in the big tech's hands
yeah.
than we're even giving our government.
Yeah.
Kind of
yeah.
thing. Because yeah. if you look at like the number of like daily users ugh. Of like Facebook,
yeah.
for instance.
Yeah.
I mean, dude, it's insane. It's
so many.
Yeah, it's like yeah. a billion or some
yeah,
shit.
Yeah, it
you
is
know?
Something
it's
like
gotta
that.
Be,
yeah,
you
think,
know?
I think so.
And so I think that when Facebook was a little, you know, when it was just like a college thing and you had like, yeah, whatever, 100 million users, yeah, or something like that, or 50 million users across the United States.
Yeah.
It needed this protection.
Yeah.
You know, because, I mean, yeah, dude, you look at what people posted and stuff like that. And I mean, the internet, ever since it existed, has, you know, there has always been a dark web. And
oh, yeah.
There has always been shitty places kind of thing.
Yeah.
But I think what we're finding out these days is that it's like we need to start treating the internet as literally, like I said, a utility versus this privileged thing that people pay for access to.
Yeah.
Kind of thing.
Yeah.
And something else to kind of mention, because this is kind of like what I would view this as. The internet needs to be created. Wow. You're gonna talk about cursing.
Pronounce it just like it looks.
Yeah,
created. Right. Created. Perfect.
The internet needs to be treated like a utility.
Yeah.
Kind of like phone lines and
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah.
And the reason that I say that is because, okay, for instance, you get on the phone with one of your friends and you are just like spouting off some shit, whatever, like
sure,
ranting about something.
Sure.
I don't know.
Sure.
AT&T is not going to remove your call.
No.
And cut your call off.
Yeah.
And like, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And
yeah,
it's kind of, now I see Alex.
Now,
yes,
your FBI agent is always watching what you're Googling.
Yeah.
And so like, they will likely come to your door one day and be like, you're under arrest. You know why.
Yeah. You know why. You know why. I always love those, the memes that it's like, whatever, somebody like Googling something. It's like, FBI is like, FBI, open up.
Yeah. I saw one that was like, somebody Googling like how to cure my depression or like active steps to fix my depression.
Yeah.
And their FBI agent like teared up. Yeah. They're like, I'm so proud.
Yeah. That's amazing. So I think that basically what needs to be revisited with all of this stuff is, I think that all right, let me get my thoughts in order. I think that it needs to be revisited for the reason that we are giving too much power to these big tech companies, because what they can do, and I'm not saying that they're doing this, but they're probably doing this. But they can create these algorithms.
Yeah.
That it's like can conveniently hit certain shit.
Yeah.
And conveniently miss other shit. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
And I don't know if I don't know what the answer is, because I don't think it's reasonable to ask them to have enough employees staff to look at every fucking thing that's posted.
They
exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. I mean they, even Facebook with its insane revenue,
yeah,
couldn't do that.
No.
You know? And so I don't know what the answer is, but I think currently it's a broken system.
Yeah.
You know?
And again, yeah, I don't know how to fix it. Like,
yeah,
I don't...
yeah. Well, and I wanted to get your take on it, because I think that it's, I guess it's just like, I do think that certain shit needs to be like cut and dry, removed.
Yeah.
Like
yeah,
lewd shit that it's like, whatever, nudity, I think violence kind of stuff. But obviously, once you start adding to this list,
yeah,
it's open for interpretation.
Yeah.
What is considered like, what is considered mild violence? What
yeah,
is considered too much violence?
Well,
you
it's
know?
Just like when I'm writing up the newsletter, I'll put on there like, hey, just so you know, this has pictures of corpses or something like that. But like, that's always just my own judgment of what, and I try to be a little heavy-handed with my warnings, because I would rather warn someone who rolls their eyes at it than not warn someone and them click it and me ruin their day or week or year or something, you know?
Yeah.
Like, so.
Well, and I wonder if there's almost, and see, this is, we kind of get back into the whole putting it, well, for instance, you know how like spoiler stuff will be blocked out or blurred out?
Yeah.
And you have to click it to reveal it, kind of.
Well,
kind of
like Facebook does with graphic images.
Yeah.
Like with the
DLL stuff. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think that I think that's awesome, because then it's giving more power to the user to say, yeah, hey, I do or do not want to view this.
Yeah.
But you're still, you're not removing it. You're just saying, hey, you have to go through an extra step, because you're putting this it could on them. Be, you know, too much for a yeah. lot of people.
And I appreciate that, because, yeah. like, I'm kind of squeamish. Yeah. So, like, yeah, I don't want to click on, God, there was something the other day. In one of the last podcast groups, somebody posted some pictures of a sky burial.
Sky? I don't even know what that is.
It's basically you leave bodies out for vultures to eat. It sounds more romantic than it is.
Yeah, it sounds
really cool concept.
Terrible.
But, I mean, I'm dead. Go ahead. Feed me to the earth.
Yeah.
Fine.
I mean, I told you.
I'm for it.
I told you how I want to go, dude.
Eat me off a cliff.
Yeet
I don't care.
Eat me off a cliff. I want to be dressed as a clown, at least size 15 shoes. And I just want to be, if you use a catapult, I'll fucking literally will come back and haunt you.
It has to be a trebuchet.
It's got
to
be a trebuchet.
No, I also like, I love the concept of a sky burial.
Yeah.
I did not click to uncover those pictures not want to see that.
I mean, you have an idea of what a body being eaten by a vulture uh-huh. probably
it's
looks
not
like.
Gonna good, it's not yeah, going to be pretty.
Exactly.
But, like, do me a sky burial. Fine. Yeah. I like it. That's cool. But, yeah. like, maybe don't post pictures anywhere.
Yeah, seriously.
Especially since the body's naked. Ain't nobody want to see that either.
But yeah, so I thought this was a pretty, I thought this was very relevant these days.
Yeah.
Because, you know, at this point it's been politicized, and by both fucking sides, that it's like, well, you're doing this to further this narrative.
Yeah.
And you're, you know, the other side saying you're doing this to, you know, yeah. to whatever. And so I feel like it could be less politicized if maybe more stuff was, I don't know, put behind those, like, filters and stuff kind of thing. That it's still available, but maybe an extra step to view it kind of
yeah.
thing.
Yeah.
But, obviously, as soon as you put that extra step in, you're going to have less engagement.
Yeah.
I honestly believe that.
Oh, yeah, you know? Because, I mean, anything that's a click-through, you're going to lose some engagement on.
Yeah.
And... yeah. Anything, like, I personally, if a video autoplays,
mm-hmm.
If it doesn't autoplay, I'm probably not going to click it. I'm just yeah. not a video person.
Yeah, yeah.
So, like, I'll scroll on by, but if it autoplays, I might be like, oh, what is this cat getting into? Let me see about it, you know? But
yeah,
if
yeah.
I had to click, I would never.
Yeah. It's just, I think that technology at this point has outrun regulations and
I don't think the laws can keep up at all
stuff. Like, yeah, and it never will because
no.
technology is just
yeah
I mean it is advancing at such a fucking rate.
It's wild.
Like, wild.
Yeah.
It really is. I mean, fuck, dude, SpaceX just put a private company put two astronauts onto the ISS, dude.
Completely wild.
Super
I
cool
love it.
And if you hadn't watched it yet, watch it and watch the fucking thing land down on the aircraft carrier.
Yeah.
And like, we are living. I know that it doesn't seem like we're living in a very good time. We're living in the best of times.
Science wise, we've got some stuff going.
Yeah.
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 And it is a great distraction.
Now, like, whatever, not even political. I mean, political is a shit show too, but
yeah.
like, just. Humanity is not doing great.
Yeah, yeah.
And anybody that's like, I didn't want you to get political, like, can fuck off. Like,
yeah.
these are people's lives. This is yeah. not political.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. But yeah, so I kind of wanted to just, like, talk about that a little bit because
yeah.
I wasn't that familiar with it, and I figured it would be
yeah,
nice
no, that's really
to,
cool.
to educate kind of thing in
that,
case other people weren't. So.
The flavor of all that reminds me of, I'm going to butcher this because it's been a long time, but like the rules when they were first trying to make rules of laws about porn.
Mm-hmm.
And they were like, well, I know it when I see it.
You're yeah.
like, you can't make a law like
nah.
that. Like, you gotta, like...
You gotta have some kind of...
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. It's yeah. like, whoa. I'm not gonna kink shame the ponytail butt plugs. But if you try to turn me into a unicorn,
I ain't having that.
And that is too far. I don't know why, but ponytail butt plugs, that's like my go-to for like joking about like porn industry stuff.
I mean, it's
and I've
it's
only something. Owned two, so
just for prancing.
Yes, seriously. Megan's like, all right, it's time for the horse show.
Oh, no. I don't know how we're friends.
I know, I'm sorry. I'll move on. But anyway, yeah, I would totally, and we will have this in the newsletter that you can sign up for at tetheredradio.substack.com.
Yep, yep.
We'll have all links to all the stuff that we refer to on that, in addition to we have show notes on our website and all that jazz. Yep. So, and now that I think about it, I don't know if I posted them from the last episode. So I'll get hot on that.
Do I have time to get into one last thing?
Yeah, okay. That's perfect, actually.
Cool. Israel Keys, do you know about him? The true crime dude?
So I remember listening to it, but can you give me like a quick and dirty that might jog my memory?
If you listen, I know you do. If folks out here listening to us listen to Last Podcast on the Left, they made a lot of fun of him, and Henry kept doing this hoy 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 laugh. That was the Israel Keys episode. Yeah,
I remember it.
Israel Keys. Also, there was a really good book called American Predator. Mm. It was really good. I listened to the audiobook of it, and it was about him, and he's just, I really hate him. I mean, he was a serial killer, so of course, like, you default to hating him, but, like, he was also just so, like, smug, it seemed like, and he was very, and he was very smart, and that's awful.
Yeah. No,
but he, one of his big things, he had kill caches buried in the country.
Yeah.
And, like, they've found some, like, those are for real. Like, he had plastic buckets filled with guns and zip ties and weapons to kill and dispose of bodies. Like, that's a real thing. They found them in cities he was planning to go to. Yeah.
Like,
so he, a little bit of a spoiler here, but he got arrested and he killed himself in prison in 2012.
Jeez, dude.
His is an interesting case, and it's really weird. He was out of Alaska, so like, if you don't think you know the case, you probably have heard it at some point in passing. But a couple weeks ago, the FBI came out with some images. Did you see these? Did you see these anywhere?
No, I didn't.
Cool. Okay. Apparently, while he was in prison, he drew pictures of 11 skulls in his own blood. And they only identified three victims of his, but they were always pretty sure he had more, and 11 was the go-to number I kept hearing about.
Oh, weird.
So, and like,
did this guy have, like, what was his, did he have any kind of motivation or anything?
I don't remember.
Because I couldn't remember if he was, like, I don't know if he just had, like, a fucking chip on his shoulder about
something. I think he just wanted to kill people. I don't think it was even people he knew.
Yeah.
I think he just... Oh, no, here's a quote.
Okay.
He didn't know who he was going to kill, but he already knew that he had the items there that he needed, like, with his kill cache.
So, yeah, so like, it's just the rush of killing.
Here's a city I'll come back to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Jesus. Oof. Yeah, and by the way, like, look this dude up, man. He just looks... He looks like... That face is a face I just want to punch.
It's such a punchable face. And even with no context, you just see this guy, like, in line somewhere, and you just be like, oh!
Yeah.
Like, you just... Mm. Also, he was super into nu metal, and, like, last podcast had a heyday making fun of all that. And, I mean, sure, like what you like, but, like, I'm going to make fun of you if you're a big Linkin Park fan, and you, like... He wrote a poem that read, like, if you were trying to be Linkin Park writing stuff.
Oh, man, I had to turn last podcast off
during them reading that because it was so cringy.
Oh, my God.
And I've listened to them say a lot of shit.
Yeah. Yeah, right.
So anyway, back to this. So these skulls, they're drawn in blood, and they were found underneath his bed in his jail cell after he died. Mm-hmm. And one of the skulls says, "We are one," and they believe that 11 is the total number of victims. And, like... They're drawn in blood, like, with a fingertip. So, like, they look like a four-year-old drew pictures of skulls with paint. Like, they're not graphic or gory or anything, and they're obviously not very detailed either. But, like, officials are pleading with the public to identify the other 8 victims. And I'm not trying to be insensitive.
Oh my god, I just googled what the skulls look like.
Yeah, they look like children's paintings. They really do.
Drawn by like kindergartners. Yeah, kind of. Like, yeah. What do you think a skull looks like?
Yeah, exactly.
Not that you would ask that to a kindergartner. But anyway, I promise I'm a dad and a good one.
I probably would. And I'd be like, this is why you can't hang around children. Leave. Yeah. Go home.
Yeah. Hey class, we're welcoming Allie this week to talk to you about sky burials.
Do you guys know what vultures are? You ever seen a dead body? Kids, come back.
No, don't cry.
No, it's fine, it's good for the earth.
Yeah.
Settle down, Onyx.
Yeah.
Okay, so, and I'm not trying to be an asshole, but like these are the very, like you just said, they're the most basic depictions of a skull.
Yeah.
And this plea from the FBI to identify the victims reads to me like they're saying, you cannot. No. These are the most cartoon of.
I mean, it looks like it looks like an abstract version of whatever Jack Skellington from Nightmare Before Christmas.
Yeah, like so. And now there was Samuel Little that had killed all those people that had drawn. Like from memory, because he had a photographic memory and he was drawing their faces and they were asking people to identify.
Yeah,
that can happen. You cannot look. First off, you don't know what my skull looks like.
Yeah, exactly. Like,
but also, they're not any kind of.
Are
detailed.
You sure I don't?
I hope you don't. No, I'm just kidding. You might after my sky burial. But yeah, I do hope that if he has other victims that they do get identified and stuff. Yeah. Like, I mean, of course. But this was just so strange. I'm like, why did they, I don't know. I feel like he's just, it's almost like a school shooter. You don't want to put their name out there in the news.
Yeah.
Even if they died because you don't want to give them that publicity.
Yeah.
And I feel like this is like years after his case. And
well, and a lot of these fucking pieces of shit that go on these killing sprees and whatever, serial killers in general. That's kind of what they're looking for in the first place is some like publicity kind of thing. Well, not all of them, but like BTK and like stuff like that, that it's like, I mean, he literally was writing to the police to, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, they're just, don't give them the fucking time of day.
Yeah, exactly.
Man. Don't run it, so.
But yeah, he was killing people. He was believed to have killed 11 people across the U.S. from 2001 through 2012.
Yeah.
But they've only identified 3 of his victims. he would abduct people and then sexually assault the women and then kill them and dismember them and dispose of them.
Jesus, dude.
And
so clearly, and I'm not, well, anyway, I'm just gonna ask my question.
Yeah.
So when they found the bodies that they were able to find, had he actually tried to get rid of them kind of thing, or did, you know what I'm saying? Like, was he actually damn good at this to the point to where, you know, whatever, you said they found 3 bodies?
Yeah.
Like, is he that good that, like, 8 were actually dismembered and disposed of?
Honestly, yeah.
In quotations, properly?
I think probably, yeah.
Man, that's creepy.
Because one, he broke into a home in Vermont of a couple that were 49 and 55.
Yeah.
He abducted them and drove them to an abandoned farmhouse where he killed the man and assaulted a woman and then strangled her. And
jeez, dude.
Then he also killed an 18-year-old close to his home in Alaska. He got her from a coffee stand where she worked, and he sexually assaulted her, killed her, dismembered her, and disposed of her body in a lake.
God, man.
And, like...
That's wild.
Yeah. So, I don't know. And, like, after her murder, he demanded ransom, and police tracked him down in Texas.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, he claimed with investigators that he'd been living a double life for years, but he never said who and where all his victims were. So, like, he said he'd travel from state to state for the sole purpose of committing murder. And then he targeted anyone from old couples to young people to young women.
Weird.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I would totally recommend the last podcast.
Yeah. And like the book, the American Predator book's really good too. And I think it's pretty readily available from libraries and stuff now too. It's been out for a little while, so cool. But it's really good.
Rock and roll. Yeah, that's honestly, if nothing else, Google. Yeah, that is weird. We are.
Yeah, those pictures are very like they're like yeah they're drawn in blood, but like it's dried blood on paper. Like it's
yeah.
Not,
oh, it's super.
It's not anything like gory. Yeah, like, it's just it looks like finger painting. It is
plus,
finger painting.
I mean, like. They all just look like the same skull.
It looks like he was practicing, like...
Drawing skulls.
To draw with, one skull.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's,
I don't know. Yeah. But, anywho...
What a garbage dude.
Yes, he is an absolute, like, human garbage panda. all right, well... I think we're literally right at the, like, hour and a half mark.
Perfect.
So,
I think we've done it.
I think we've done it. Once again, we have done it. we would like to thank all of our listeners out there for joining us for episode 102 of the Tether Radio podcast. Now is the part where I put on my dancing shoes and I go through
give
our
them the old razzle dazzle.
Give them the old razzle dazzle.
That's one of my favorite phrases.
That's amazing.
Oh my god.
Let us know what you guys think about the episode. Did you like it? Did you hate it? Are we boring you? I promise I can cover more regulatory stuff. I can cover less regulatory stuff. Here at the Tether Radio podcast, we are all about flexibility.
We're here for you.
We're here for you. Let us know what you liked, what you didn't like, suggestions for future topics, all that jazz. You can send that to... TetherRadio@gmail.com. That is TetherRadio@gmail.com. We are on Twitter at Tether_Radio. We are on Instagram also at Tether_Radio. Facebook, all one word, Tether Radio. we have the Tether Radio After Dark Facebook group. I think we've gotten some pretty good like activity going in
there.
Yeah,
it's been fun.
Hoping to get it bustling a little bit more with the book club stuff.
Yeah.
You can also sign up for our Tether Radio newsletter. It's a really good. It does a really good job of kind of a quick and dirty of what the episode's going to be about.
Yeah.
And gives you access to the links for the stuff that we're going to cover. So if you're just more into reading instead of listening. Definitely sign up for that. You can do that at tetherradio.substack.com or you can go to our Twitter homepage thing and I don't know what
it's
the hell to
call it. It's just a pinned tweet. It's just our Twitter.
Our Twitter. Damn. I always get hung up
on that. You overthink it.
I totally do. We got a pinned tweet on there where you can go sign up for the newsletter. So... Anywho, we are thanking you once again for lending us your ear for approximately 1.5 hours. And this has been the Tether Radio Podcast, episode 102. I'm Daniel.
I'm Allie.
And we are thanking you once again for joining us. Hope you guys have a fantastic week. And come back next week. We'll have a juicy little episode for you. Take it easy, friendos.
Bye.